Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I am titling this Bible study, How to Be Happy, Part 3. We had a Part 1 and a Part 2 in these verses right here that begin with blessed or blessed, where our Lord is teaching us what the blessed state is. And we brought messages on a couple of verses. We had a part one and a part two, and then we had messages on a couple of verses, and I didn't give the title of How to Be Happy because those messages were more of a declarative message than an instructive Sunday school lesson. But this morning I want to recap, and I want to hopefully finish the instruction of our Lord on these verses specifically, where he begins with blessed. And this will more than likely be the last title I give of How to Be Happy. So picking up with verse 9, let's first see Christ in this, and then let's see Christ's instruction to us in this. Matthew 5, verse 9, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." When we hear peacemaker, when a child of God hears the word peacemaker, one name comes to our mind: our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the peacemaker. The peacemaker. That's who he is. That's who we can and ought to see him to be. That's what he did for his people. He made peace. Turn with me, if you would, over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, the heading at the top of my page says, "The church's joy in Christ's birth and kingdom." So this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's who he is. That's what he came to do. He came to make peace for a particular people. He came to make peace for a select, chosen people. He did not come to make peace for everybody. This is so important. We're going to see this here, and we're going to see this again in a moment in our message. But our Lord did not come to make peace for every soul on this earth. He came to make peace for every soul that his Father gave to him. It's people who were naturally at war with him. Now you think about this. Who did he make peace for? He made peace for people who were at war with him. But he overcame them. That's what he did. He got the victory over them. When we talk about him getting the victory, we need to understand he got the victory over us. We were at enmity against him, and he got the victory over his people. so making peace. Now, let me prove that he only came to make peace for his people. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 34 says, this is our Lord speaking, and he said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." Don't think that I have come to send peace on earth. When he was born, the angels cried, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." That's what they cried, peace on earth. But he's saying right here, that doesn't mean the entire earth. It doesn't mean the entire world. God's love and God's peace has been given to every location in the world. If it was only in Israel, then we'd all need to get on a plane and head to Israel. But it has gone to the whole world. It's gone all over the entire world. But that doesn't mean it has gone to every person in the world. He said it's a people out of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. Verse 34, he said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And he goes on and continues with that. He said, "I've come to send a sword." It's the sword of truth. That's what it is. It's the sword of truth concerning God's sovereignty. Had Christ not come, we would not know anything of God's absolute sovereignty and Christ's absolute finished work. We wouldn't know anything of it. And he said, "I came to send the sword of this truth." It's the sword that man naturally tries to fight against. That's what man wants to go to war with, is God's truth. But Hebrews 4 says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it's the sword of truth that makes men and women bow the knee to the finished work of Christ. And that's the problem for man. We will not bow the knee to the finished work of Christ. That's the problem for man. No man or woman will bow the knee to the finished work of Christ unless God makes us bow to the finished work of Christ. Man does not want a peacemaker with God. Man wants to be his own peacemaker with God. Man says, "Well, I've made my peace with God." You don't want to do that. You want Christ to make peace with God for you. And but man doesn't want that naturally. And outside of that, there's no peace. Man cries, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. All right, now, but in Christ, turn with me to John 17. I'm sorry, did I say John 17? Go to John 14. John 14, verse 27. Our Lord said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth." He's saying, "I'm going to give you, I'm going to give my people a peace that the world knows nothing about." It's an eternal peace with God. Peace in spite of your sin against Him. Peace in spite of all your enmity against Him. And He said, "I'm going to accomplish that peace for you in myself, by the sacrifice of myself, in my body, in my blood, in my death. For you," he said in another place, He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, in me, you're going to have peace. Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 says, it pleased the Father that in Christ all fullness should dwell, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. This is exactly how it happened. Ephesians 2, verse 11 says, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. He's saying, make no doubt about it, you were not called God's people. Verse 12, remember that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. That means he joined himself to us and he joined us to him. He made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That means the hatred, the war, the enemy. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what he did for us as his people. All right, now let's consider what he has to say to us because of that. All right, let's consider now what he is physically saying to us because of that right there. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 5. And I want to just throw in a side note here. This has really affected me. This is honestly, I just feel like I've had my eyes open to this, and I hope we all will have that. Matthew 5, verse 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Seeing what Christ did for us, that's where you start. That's where you start. You know, man in religion gets the cart before the horse. That's the whole problem with religion. There's nothing wrong with us seeing these things and desiring to do these and desiring good works and such on and so forth. But that's not salvation. Christ is salvation. And there's nothing wrong with putting a cart behind a horse. The problem is when we get the cart in front of the horse. But seeing what Christ did for us, this is what he now has to say to us. He's saying, learn of me. Isn't that what he said? Learn of me. He said, this is the blessed state. This is happiness. Being a peacemaker. I want to be happy. I really do. I tell you all the time that it just really hit me that at the end of Brother Henry's life, he didn't want to hear any more bad news. But it's good, right? You know, that's what he used to say. You'd say, well, but it's good, right? He just wanted to be happy. And that's what I want to be. And our Lord said, this is happiness. And it is. It is. Being a peacemaker. We're going to find out that this is so. This really is so. Our Lord said that it would be this way, and it will be this way. If we live by the sword, we're going to die by the sword. This is so. If we live this life ready to slay and ready to cut and ready to attack, and that's what this flesh does. It's just so full of pride. It's so full of self-righteousness. And if we do that, if we live this life in that way, we are going to die, meaning we're going to live out the rest of this life being slain and being cut and being attacked. This applies to all of us. This applies to God's people. It truly does. Our Lord said, whatever you meet people with, the same thing will be met with you. Whatever you deal to people, the same thing will be dealt to you. It is so important that we understand this. If we deal sharply, and that's what I love about the fellowship I believe the Lord has given us. I believe the Lord's put a sweet spirit here, and I don't want it to go away. I really don't. If we deal sharply, and if we deal harshly, and if we deal unmercifully, then we need to expect to be dealt with sharply and harshly and unmercifully. We just need to expect it. And that's not a blessed state. That is not happiness. That's not happiness. Sometimes people wonder, and I will put my name on the top of that list. And this is why I say this is just, I've read this a long time now, but I believe the Lord has just let me really get a hold of it. And I hope He lets me apply it. Just getting a hold of it's not enough for me. I hope He lets me apply it. But sometimes we wonder, why do things always happen this way for me? Why is it that it seems like everything's the hard way for me? Why does it always have to go like this for me? People say that, not realizing that they're only receiving what they're dishing out. Really? This is how to be happy as a sojourning child of God. And that's what we are. We are sojourning. We're passing through. We live in tents. We're just passing through as a sojourning child of God through this difficult world that we live in. This is how to be happy. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 31, it says, as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. If you want as peaceful a life as possible, be a peacemaker. Ask yourself that question. What is the fastest way I could make peace right here? Be a peacemaker. Our Lord said, learn of me. Do to others as I have done to you. It's a true lesson for life here. Verse 37 in Luke 6, He said, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he said, blessed are the peacemakers. Whatever you dish out, that's what's coming to you. Blessed are the peacemakers. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now watch verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's happiness. That is happiness. Christ did that for us. That's describing the Lord Jesus Christ. He did that for us. And us doing that for each other is true happiness. Now go with me back to Matthew 5. As a recap, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. If we want to be happy, we need to go through this life realizing something of our emptiness before God. Emptiness. If we want to be happy, we need to be aware of that. That's when we see our fullness to be in Christ. And that'll bring happiness. Verse 4 says, blessed are they that mourn. If we want to be happy, we need to go through this life acquainted with the sorrow of our continual sin. We need to be aware of our own continual sin, because that will be a reminder of the sorrow that Christ bore for us to put away that sin. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek. If we want to be happy in this life, we need to be humble. We truly need to be humble. Scripture says pride comes before a fall. And as Christ humbled himself for us, we need to humble ourselves for each other. Verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. If we want to be happy, we need to desire things that are good. Paul told the Philippians, he said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, we need to go for the truth. We need to go for honesty. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. He said, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We've already established that salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. But shall we sin? Shall we just willingly, purposefully, with no conscience toward it, shall we sin, just revel in sin that grace may abound. God forbid, there's no happiness in that. Verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful. If we want to be happy, we need to show mercy to people. We sure are happy that God showed mercy to us in Christ, aren't we? And because of that, we need to show mercy to each other. We need to show mercy. We need to find somebody who doesn't deserve it and show it to them. That's who we need to show it to. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart. If we want to be happy, we need to get honest with God. Pure in heart. Honest before God. We need to confess what we are to Him. And we need to beg Him for the mercy in His blood that we so desperately need. All who do find it, receive it, hear about it, know of it. The song says, tell it to Jesus, tell it to the Lord Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to the Lord Jesus alone. Another song says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's where happiness is. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. If we want to be happy, as much as lieth in us, we need to make peace. We need to live peaceably with all men. We need to be peacemakers. And we'll close the Bible study with this, okay? Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Our Lord said, if you have the truth of Christ revealed to you. And I want us to get a hold of this more than all of it. He said, if you have the truth of Christ revealed to you, that is going to happen to you. He said, it's going to happen to you. Turn with me over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse 17. He said, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. That means if they've taken issue with my word, my saying, they'll take issue with yours too. Now, if it becomes known that a person believes and is clinging to the truth and the glory of Christ, if that gets out, and it will, if God has revealed the truth and the glory of Christ to a person, not the glory of man, but the glory of Christ and what that really means, not the glory of man's works, which is what all religion is based on. Man's works. Do this and live. Don't do this and die. Man's works. Once God reveals the glory of Christ's work and not man's work, when it becomes known that God has revealed that to a person and that the person believes it and that the person is clinging to it as all of his or her hope for salvation, Christ's work, that person will be persecuted for the truth's sake. That person will be, all right now. But if we want to be happy, oh, may God teach me this. I pray for the sake of Kingsport, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of this ministry, for the sake of eternity, because of what Christ did, may God teach us this. If we want to be happy, we're going to be persecuted for the truth's sake. Once it gets out, the flesh doesn't love this like we do. But if we want to be happy, we need to tell men and women the truth. You know how you just keep it inside and you just let them on, pass on by. And if we want to be happy, we need to tell men and women the truth. Hide it under a bushel? No. It's the next few verses in Matthew 5. No. Our Lord said, rejoice in this truth right here. They persecuted every prophet before you, every preacher, every witnesser, every teller of truth. They persecuted all of them. But he said it means you're clinging to the right thing. It means you're in good company. And if we tell the truth to the ones we love, the reason we don't is because we fear being persecuted. We fear ending a relationship. We think, well, this might sever our relationship, but maybe it won't. If we tell the truth to the people that we love, they may end up loving it just like we do. And they may end up clinging to it just like we do. And they may end up believing it and hoping in it just like we do. And if they do, that'll make us happy. If God saves our family and saves our friends and saves our neighbors and saves our coworkers, I'm telling you, that'll make us happy. It will make us happy. Lord, teach us to do these things. Teach us to do these things. Let us know the blessed state right now, I pray. Okay, you're dismissed.